7:39. Yesterday we touched on this a little bit. While the ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa has managed to temporarily ease tensions in KwaZulu-Natal, the outcome of Parliament's review of the Ingonyama Trust Act is yet to be determined. And key among the issues to be decided is the recommendation that the Act be repealed because it was inconsistent with the Constitution. Dr. Annika Klaasens, who is the Chief Researcher and Director of Land and Accountability Research Center at the University of Cape Town, joins us on the line to talk to us a little bit more about the Ingonyama Trust. Dr. Klaasens, I understand that, it was a politically controversial land deal that King Goodwill Zwelithini signed with the apartheid regime at the instigation of IFP President Mangosuthu Buthelezi. But perhaps you can paint us a little bit of a picture as to how this trust came about.
Well, I think that, that is the history. The history is that when the homelands were reincorporated into South Africa in 1994, their land was reincorporated under the trusteeship of the Minister of Land Affairs, subject to the rights of the people living on that land. But a special deal was made in KwaZulu-Natal that the land would be held in trust by the king as opposed to the Minister of Land Affairs, but also subject to people's rights on the land. And the issue now is not that old deal, which obviously was controversial at the time. It's how the trust board has been treating people's rights. And that's really why the Mutante High Level Panel recommended that something as serious as either amending or repealing the act was necessary, not because of the history, but because of the current processes of dispossession that are taking place in KwaZulu-Natal.
And as you mentioned, the stated intentions of the Ingonyama Trust Act was to establish trust hold on all land previously owned or belonging to the KwaZulu-Bantustan government. But since then, what are some of the issues with regards to the Ingonyama Trust that you could share?
Well, one of the most serious and the most sort of astounding is that it is taking people's customary ownership of land, which, is equivalent to ownership according to a judgment of the Constitutional Court, and it is converting that into leasehold. Mm. And in many instances, people have something called a permission to occupy certificate, which was a certificate granted during apartheid. And in terms of the 1991 law, the Upgrading of Land Rights Act, those certificates are upgradable to ownership. So whether you're looking at statutory law or you're looking at customary law, the people who've inherited those pieces of land over generations are the owners. And what the trust is doing, it's requiring them to sign leases. Mm. And in terms of those leases, they have to pay rent. The rent escalates to 10% a year. And if you don't pay rent, you forfeit not only your land, which you already own, but all the buildings and the improvements that your family's put on it over generations. Mm. And that's really, that's one of the serious things. Another one is that the trust board is signing third-party leases with outsiders, with mining companies, with Indian companies, wanting to do big ports and in respect of land that is owned and occupied by people. And as long as it gets the consent of the traditional council, it doesn't even consult the people who lose their land, because that land is then taken over by the shopping mall or the mine or whatever, who then, pays rent to the Ingonyama Trust and not to the people living on the land.
Hmm. One of the other issues that the high-level panel found was that the Ingonyama Trust Board had ignored the provisions of the ITA, which stipulates that the ITA of 1994 shall not apply to townships and that township land should be controlled by the relevant municipality.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's tried to hold on to township land. It was actually an amendment in 97 that said that all township land must rest in the municipalities. And by holding on to that land, it's basically starving those townships of any kind of rates and making them unable to operate. And in that sense, you're really looking at a kind of standoff that you see in many areas between traditional leaders and municipalities. And in this instance, the municipalities are completely and absolutely cut off at the knees because they can't charge rates because the Ingonyama claims to own the land, despite what the Act says.
Right. What happens now that Goodwill Zwelithini has, you know, they've threatened to mount legal or even violent resistance if anything happens to the Ingonyama Trust?
Well, basically, you must understand that, I mean, they have been repeatedly assured that the high-level panel recommendation is only that. It's one of 100 recommendations that the panel made to Parliament, none of which have been decided. So, you know, Parliament said that to them. It's been said on various news broadcasts, but they have chosen to make this issue into an imminent threat, despite the fact that there is no connection between the panel's recommendations and the expropriation of land without compensation, because basically the Motlanthe panel was looking at a review of legislation, and if one wanted to change the Ingonyama Trust Act, it would be done by repeal or amendment of that legislation. It's got nothing to do with expropriation without compensation. And I think what's happened is that they have used this basically to try and detract attention away from the fact that Parliament has said to them they have got to stop issuing these leases. Mm. The chair of the Portfolio Committee and members of Parliament said that actually what you're doing here is you are dispossessing people in contravention of your own act, in contravention of the Constitution, and in contravention of a law called the Interim Protection of Informal Land Rights Act. Mm. The legal advisor from the Department of Rural Development said that, you know, they're governed by, they have to report to the Department and to Parliament, and that they had no permission from the Department to start issuing these leases. So they have ignored those instructions from Parliament, whom they must report to, and instead said, let's rally around this threat to our land rights. So, you know, I think this is all really bluster, because they are very legally vulnerable in what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a great pity that, you know, the political parties are sort of bowing to this kind of bluster. And I think it's all going to have to get sorted out in the courts now. I'm sure that people will challenge what they're doing as unconstitutional.
Dr. Claassen, thank you so much for your time. She's the Chief Researcher and Director at Land and Accountability Research Center at the University of Cape Town.